Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. The Mestizo Menace.
Hello. This is the time of the year when hundreds of thousands of young men and women from America's colleges and universities take their spring break and spend a week partying and drinking. For most of them, it's also a time for romance and for socializing. And so they want to go where everyone else is going. A few years ago, the trendiest place to go was Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But this year, it's Cancun, Mexico. And everyone who can afford it is heading there. There have been network news segments in recent weeks showing the scantily clad college girls on the beaches at Cancun and in the Mexican resorts' bars and discos, which are packed with American students drinking and carousing. The travel agencies have been doing a lot of advertising aimed at luring more students to Cancun, and they're making a fortune on hotel reservations and airline tickets. One aspect of Cancun and other Mexican tourist resorts which the news media have not been featuring is the danger of assault, rape, and robbery for young Americans who go to these places. I'll tell you a few horror stories that you certainly didn't hear about in the controlled media. 3 weeks ago, 10 students from Salisbury State University in Maryland went to Cancun for their spring break. They had bought a package deal from one of the travel agencies promoting trips to Cancun. On their third night in Cancun, as they headed back to their hotel on foot after an evening of partying with other students, they were accosted by a group of Mexican policemen. The policemen slapped them around a bit and then robbed them at gunpoint. That's right, the policemen robbed them. They should have learned something from that, but apparently one robbery wasn't enough to overcome the liberal brainwashing they had received back home to the effect that Mexicans are the same as white Americans, except that they speak a different language. The next night, they were riding a bus through downtown Cancun. They believed that would be safer than walking after their experience the night before. Mexicans on the bus began taunting the gringos. Then an off-duty policeman kicked one of them in the back. Two of the Americans were dragged off the bus, and a group of about 20 Mexicans, including several policemen, began beating and kicking them. Finally, the policeman in the gang of assailants handcuffed one of the Americans, 20-year-old Peter Best, and hauled him off to the city jail. There he was beaten more until he was sure that they intended to beat him to death. And perhaps that is what would have happened to him, except that his friends went to the police station looking for him, where the police chief agreed to release Best if his friends would pay a $500 bribe to the chief. They paid, and the police allowed Best, who by this time was suffering from a concussion, to be led away. The students complained to the U.S. Embassy, which seemed quite unconcerned. More than 1,000 American students have had similar problems in Cancun so far this year, the embassy officer told them, indicating that there was very little which could be done. Actually, the students from Salisbury State University were very fortunate. They were robbed only twice, beaten a couple of times, and forced to pay one bribe. The week after their ordeal, that is, just 2 weeks ago, Carol Schlossberg, an American woman who was an art instructor at Yale on vacation at the Mexican resort of Puerto Escondido, was grabbed by two Mexicans while walking on a nearby beach, raped repeatedly, and then drowned for sport. Her naked body was found on the beach by other American tourists. The Mexican police say they know who did it, So far, no one has been arrested. A suspicion has been expressed that the police are waiting to see who will offer them the larger bribe, the killers or those who want the killers arrested. A favorite tactic used against American tourists in Mexico and nearby areas of Central America is bus hijacking, a tactic in which police and soldiers often are involved. One such hijacking, which as an exception to the rule actually made the news in the United States, involved a busload of students and teachers from St. Mary's College, also in Maryland. In January, a gang armed with military rifles halted their bus on the Pacific Highway in Guatemala. They were robbed, and then five of the girls were led into the adjacent cane fields and raped repeatedly. The girls testified that they were sure that the men who raped them were either soldiers or policemen because they were wearing military boots and parts of uniforms. As I said, this particular robbery and gang rape of American students made the news in the United States, but five other tourist bus hijackings and gang rapes in the same area during the previous 6 months, that is, since July 1997, didn't make the news, which is why the St. Mary's College students weren't expecting what happened to them. And a tourist bus hijacking a year earlier near Acapulco, Mexico, didn't make the headlines in the United States either. In that hijacking, a bus with 27 tourists was forced off the road at night by a gang of Mexicans flashing police badges. Eight of the female passengers, including a 14-year-old girl and a Norwegian woman, as well as the American women, were gang raped over a three-hour period. As in the case of the girls from St. Mary's College, these women didn't find out until afterward when they complained to embassy officials that such gang rapes of white passengers aboard tourist buses have become quite common in the area around Acapulco. Even more common are the robbery and rape of white taxicab passengers in Mexico. Vacationing college girls who have heard about the dangers of Mexican taxis believe that they will be safe if three or four of them ride together in a taxi. What often happens is that the driver takes them to an area where some of his Mexican friends are waiting, and then all of the girls are robbed and raped. Sometimes they're able to walk back to their hotel afterward, and sometimes they simply disappear and end up being forced to work as prostitutes under indescribably horrible conditions. One of the reasons for the growing danger young Americans face in visiting Mexico is the deteriorating economy and the endemic political corruption there. Despite repeated bailouts by the U.S. Treasury, the Mexican economy remains in chaos. Unemployment is high, and civil servants, especially the police, are notoriously underpaid. They make up for this by extortion, accepting bribes, and simple thuggery. Politics in Mexico always has been completely corrupt at every level. With enough money, anything can be done, and one can easily buy exemption from punishment for any crime. Judges, politicians, and police officials are all for sale, or at least for rent. Without money, however, one can expect no mercy and no justice in Mexico, especially if one is a gringo. Racial hatred has become an increasingly important motivation in Mexican and other Central American attacks against whites. The population of Mexico today is about 30% more or less pure-blooded Indians, about 60% mestizos or European Indian mongrels, and less than 10% whites, mostly of Spanish origin. Social caste in Mexico is based largely on the percentage of white, that is, Spanish blood a person has, with Indians at the bottom of the social hierarchy, whites at the top, and mestizos distributed in between roughly on the basis of their degree of whiteness. At least, that's the way it used to be in more normal times. These days, the mestizos are feeling their oats and flexing their muscles more than in the past. The red-bearded Spanish conquistador, Hernan Cortes, taught the Indians of Mexico to respect the white man. With 500 Spanish soldiers and 16 horses, he landed in 1519 at what later became Veracruz, burned his ships behind him to discourage desertions, and during the next 2 years, conquered all of Mexico, which at that time had a population of more than 2 million Indians, and utterly destroyed the empire of the Aztecs, who were renowned as fierce and bloodthirsty warriors. All of that, however, was nearly 500 years ago, and things have gone downhill since. In contrast to the English settlers to the north, who came seeking land and brought their own women with them from England, the Spanish came seeking gold and brought no women. Instead, they mated with the Indian women, a practice encouraged by the priests accompanying them who were eager to convert the Indians to Christianity. Thus began the growth of the mestizo element in Central America. This process of racial mixture did not bring about the peaceful amalgamation of the races that the priests claimed it would. Instead, the history of Mexico has been a series of bloody revolutions and racial warfare, mostly of mestizos and Indians against whites, but also of Indians against mestizos, as in the case of the recent civil war in Mexico's southernmost province of Chiapas. Since the Second World War, there has been a very noticeable growth in Mexican nationalist sentiment among the mestizo element in the southwestern United States, and a similar sentiment is found throughout Mexico. It expresses itself in a smoldering hatred of gringos, a hatred which often bursts into open flame. The freely expressed rationale for this hatred is simple revanchism. The gringos took the American Southwest away from the Mexicans by force of arms, and now the Mexicans will take it back through immigration and by outbreeding and eventually by outvoting the gringos. During some of the debate over curbing illegal immigration, which led to California's Proposition 187, which would have taken some welfare benefits away from illegal immigrants, Mexican activists screamed at white proponents of the proposition, "If anybody is going to be deported, it's you." Illegal Mexican immigrants in the U.S. Southwest regard themselves as legally in territory that belongs to them, and many members of the Clinton government encourage this attitude, which helps to explain the Clinton Justice Department's opposition to Proposition 187 and a federal judge's recent ruling that it cannot be enforced. Clinton's point man in California, Art Torres, is chairman of the California Democratic Party. He told his fellow Democrats, quote, "Remember, 187 is the last gasp of white America in California," end of quote. Yes, that's what a leader of the party which is in power in Washington now told his cheering Mexican followers in California. Underneath this Mexican nationalism is genuine racial hatred and racial resentment. The mestizo compensates for his deeply felt racial inferiority by raping a blonde gringa and forcing her to submit to every indignity he can inflict on her, or by beating and robbing a gringo. Actually, the rape of gringas has been a mestizo sport in the Mexican border towns for a number of years. Groups of college girls go into these border towns as tourists, naively believing that they can walk into a bar and drink with as much impunity as they can in a white bar in the United States. The common practice is for the bartender to slip a Mickey into a girl's drink, and then when she becomes confused and disoriented, a group of mestizos will escort her into a back room and gang rape her. The favorite Mickey used today is a powerful sedative with the trade name Rohypnol. Illegal in the United States, Rohypnol is readily available across the border. Complaining to the Mexican police after one of these drug-assisted rapes is fruitless, as hundreds of white college girls and their parents have discovered. The revanchist sentiment of Mexicans is so strong that Mexican officials routinely refuse to punish Mexican criminals for offenses against white Americans in Mexico or to extradite Mexican criminals who are sought for crimes committed in the United States. A Mexican can rape, rob, or murder a white American, flee across the border, and not worry about being extradited. Even Mexican officials of essentially pure Spanish blood dare not openly oppose the widespread prejudice against gringos. Among mestizos, both in Mexico and in the United States, criminals who prey on gringos or flout gringo laws are viewed as Latin Robin Hoods. Mexican drug lords in particular are glorified by the mestizos, and one of the most popular types of music among young mestizos in California and Texas today is the Narco Corrido, a folk song in ballad form about the exploits of one or another drug boss. So, why do white college students flock to Mexico for their spring breaks? Mostly, it's because they are kept completely in the dark about the danger until something happens to them personally. In the most expensive resort hotels, of course, they are relatively safe, as long as they stay in the hotels or on the beach immediately adjacent to the hotels. That's because there's big money involved in the tourist business, and the wealthy owners of the luxury hotels make it worth the while of the local police to maintain a reasonably safe environment for their patrons. For college kids who buy bargain excursion packages from travel agencies and are booked into second-class hotels, as was the case of the 10 students from Salisbury State University, it's a different story. And for the white kids who believe that they can hitchhike around Mexico with a backpack or hang out in Mexican bars, it's pure suicide. The biggest reason for this ignorance of the danger is that the controlled media are very reluctant to report crimes by mestizos against whites. And I'm talking about the controlled media in the United States. The politically correct view of the media people is that in any conflict between a white and a non-white, the white must be the aggressor, the bad guy, the hate criminal, and the non-white must be the inoffensive victim. To report an interracial crime which doesn't fit this view is tantamount to racism. If one seeks information about the dangers for American tourists in Mexico from the U.S. State Department, one must look for it in the travel advisory information made available to diplomats and embassy personnel. In this travel advisory information, the State Department warns that it is very dangerous to use taxicabs in Mexico except when special precautions are exercised, that it's very dangerous to travel by bus through certain provinces, and so on. But this information is not published for the benefit of tourists or the general public. Not only would it be racist to publicize it, but it might discourage American tourists from going to Mexico and thereby hurt NAFTA and the Clinton government's program of promoting free trade with Mexico. One thing which encourages attacks on American tourists and vacationing college kids is their all-too-obvious vulnerability. They head for Mexico chock-full of notions about democracy, equality, and interracial brotherhood, and they expect the little brown people of Mexico to be full of similar nonsense. Mexicans view white Americans as weak, foolish, and easy prey. Any respect for whites that Cortez taught them has long since been dissipated by their experience with more recent and much softer generations of gringos. Whereas Cortez and his 500 Spanish soldiers cheerfully took on an army of Mexican Indians more than 100 times their size and sent them running for their lives, the average American male today cannot protect either himself or his woman in a one-on-one physical confrontation with a Mexican, and the Mexicans seldom give him such favorable odds. An optimist might think that the misfortunes which befall many vacationing white college students in Mexico will be good educational experiences for them. Being raped, beaten up, or robbed by grinning mestizos who obviously hate their guts will cause the brainwashed students to re-examine the foolishness about racial equality which has been pumped into their heads by politically correct professors and textbooks. Seeing it firsthand, the corruption of the Mexican bureaucracy will make them question the wisdom of rushing headlong into Mr. Clinton's glorious New World Order, in which the United States will surrender its sovereignty and submit itself to the will of a non-white world majority not too different in character from that of the mestizo majority in Mexico. An optimist might think that. And if the media in this country would widely publicize these misfortunes so that the lucky students could learn from the experiences of the unlucky ones, perhaps some good would come of it. But of course, the media are in the hands of people who hate our people as much as the mestizos do. And so every rape of a blonde gringa on a tourist bus and every robbery and beating of a spring-breaking gringo who can't afford the luxury hotels in Cancun will continue to be just another individual tragedy for one of our people. Until we get our act together and straighten the whole mess out Cortez style. Thanks for being with me again today.